And as I read Leviticus 1, I'm going to substitute for burnt offering, ascension offering. So I will say that each time as I read it, and I will explain in the sermon why I am doing that. So Leviticus 1, 1 through 17, now hear the word of the Lord. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is an ascension sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the ascension offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the ascension offering and cut it into its pieces. The sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order on the wood that is upon the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water. And the priest shall burn on the altar as an ascension sacrifice, an offering made by a fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering is of the flocks, of the sheep, or of the goats, as an ascension sacrifice, then he shall bring a male without blemish. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. And he shall cut it into its pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash the entrails and the legs with water. Then the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It is an ascension sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if the ascension sacrifice of his offering to the Lord is of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out at the side of the altar. And he shall remove its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east side into the place for ashes. Then he shall split it at its wings, but shall not divide it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar, on the wood that is on the fire. It is an ascension sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Hear us when we call, O God of our righteousness. Relieve us in our distress. Have mercy upon us and hear our prayers. We pray that you would set apart the godly for yourself and hear us when we call upon you. For we meditate within our hearts on our beds. We come before you due to the sacrifice of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, and we put our trust in you. Lift us, the light of your countenance. Put gladness in our hearts. Bless us to lie down in peace and make us to dwell in safety. Speak to us now in your word by your Spirit. Give us understanding. Increase our love and our joy for you and our service to your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning are Jesus and ascend, or a variation of ascend. Ascension, ascending, Jesus and ascend. Brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin a new sermon series this morning. It is a five-part series. It's a five-part series in the book of Leviticus. We will hear from the word of the Lord of the five main sacrifices in the life of God's people in the Old Covenant. What the sacrifices were, how they were carried out, and what are their implications for the Lord's New Covenant people. And this last distinction is important. Now, we already know, we've already seen this morning, we will quickly see from the text, that we don't offer these sacrifices anymore. Yet the Lord, the God who does not change, required these sacrifices of his people in history. In God's good and perfect plan, he liked these sacrifices. He liked these rites carried out by the people of Israel. In fact, he required his people to approach him and to worship him with these sacrifices. Now, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we confess that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is profitable to us. You see in the front of your liturgy from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that all Scripture includes Leviticus. Leviticus is profitable for the Church of Jesus Christ. The righteous, as we hear from Psalm 1, read, learn, meditate on God's law day and night. And as the righteous people of God, this is our blessed privilege and responsibility to meditate on God's word. Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord, he lived in the old covenant system of animal sacrifices. And he testified that he came to fulfill the law, including Leviticus. In our union with Jesus Christ, he establishes the law within us and through us. And this is in worship and this is in life. So if we desire to walk in his ways, to think the thoughts of Jesus, we must understand this sacrificial system. In doing so, we learn more about Jesus. We learn how we ought to approach God in worship. And by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are shaped and changed to be more like Christ. Now, in history, Yahweh gave the book of Leviticus to Israel after the Exodus from Egypt. And we've heard of the Exodus this morning in the baptism meditation. Apostle Paul cited it in 1 Corinthians 10. So after the Exodus, the Lord gave Israel Leviticus. The people of Israel had been enslaved for many years. They were living in Egyptian culture. But the Lord redeemed them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and then he gave them this law while they're wandering in the wilderness. And this law included in Exodus the construction of the tabernacle, which is referenced in Leviticus 1, and the establishment of sacrificial worship. Israel carried out these sacrifices while they wandered and when they had settled in the land. And these sacrifices would continue in worship at the temple until the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. These sacrifices were to be done away with in Christ, but ultimately ended with the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem in AD 70. Now we heard in Leviticus 1 of the first sacrifice. Now our English Bibles usually translate this sacrifice as whole burnt offering or burnt offering. But a more accurate translation would be an ascension offering. The emphasis on the word that we translate into the English isn't wholeness. The emphasis isn't being burnt or fire. The emphasis is going up. That's what the word means. It means to go up. The sacrifice is to ascend. The sacrifice is to go up. And the Lord reveals these details first in Leviticus 1 and 2 as a general instruction for all sacrifices. But then in verse 3, he gets to the specifics of the ascension sacrifice, the ascension offering. And we read that these sacrifices were to be unblemished. The sacrifice, the ascension offering, is to be a son of the herd. We translate it bull, but it's literally a son of the herd. An unblemished son is to be offered on behalf of the worshiper. Now that unblemished son could come from the herd or from the flock, or if you were poor, you could offer birds. And the main two features of this sacrifice were the pouring out of the blood, the separating the blood from the sacrifice, and then the consuming of the animal in fire on the altar to go up. So the ritual steps of the sacrifice, the worshiper, the member of the covenant, would bring the animal to the door of the tent of meeting. The worshiper would lean on the animal, put his hand on the head of the animal, lean on it, kill that animal. The worshiper would kill it. However, if it were a bird, the priest would kill the bird, wringing its neck. The worshiper then would skin the animal. If it were a bird, the worshiper would defeather the bird, and then cut the animal into pieces, or split the bird, and then wash the sacrifice with water. That was the responsibility of the worshiper. All those steps. Now, the priest would assist Aaron's sons. And the priest would drain the blood from the animal, sprinkle the blood on the altar. The priest would put the fire on the altar, the holy fire of the Lord, arrange wood on the fire to continue it burning, arrange the parts of the animal on the fire, and then burn the whole sacrifice. That was the priest's job. So we have the worshiper participating and the priest assisting. Now the burning of this sacrifice was to turn the sacrifice into smoke, to change the sacrifice from an animal, a cut-up animal, arranged on an altar, to change it into smoke, and then to send it up to the Lord. And we hear that three times. Verses 9, 13, and 17. Verse 9. The priest shall burn on the altar as an ascension sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. So that going up, that rightful, faithfully offered sacrifice would go up as a pleasing aroma. The sacrifice would change in order to go up. Change to go up. Separate the blood, remove the covering, cut up and rearrange on the altar, and then change it in the fire and send it up in the smoke. And that smoke would ascend to the Lord. It would join the glory cloud of the Lord. And it would please him. Change to go up, to join the Lord, and to please the Lord. Now the ascension sacrifice was one of the three most common. We'll read about in the first three chapters of Leviticus. And the ascension sacrifice is offered repeatedly in the history of redemption. After the flood, when Noah exited the ark, the first thing he does is he offered animals as ascension offerings to go up to God. When Abraham had to offer Isaac on Mount Moriah, we heard this in Genesis 22, the Lord called him to offer Isaac as an ascension offering. Abraham had to give up his son to the Lord. Job regularly offered ascension sacrifices for his children in case they had sinned. In Exodus, when Jethro and Moses were reunited after the Exodus, Jethro, the God-fearing priest of Midian, offered ascension sacrifices. This sacrifice was part of the regular worship of Israel. The high priest offered this sacrifice morning and evening every single day. We read about that in Numbers 28. It's connected to every feast in Numbers 29. Morning and evening, offer the ascension sacrifice. At the end of the book of Judges, when the tribes rise up against Benjamin for Benjamin's wickedness, the tribes struggle to overcome Benjamin until they offer ascension sacrifices. The Lord does not give the wicked tribe over to the other tribes until they offer those sacrifices. Samuel offered ascension sacrifices in repentance for Israel when the ark was returned. King David stopped the plague for his census by offering an ascension sacrifice. In 2 Chronicles 29, King Hezekiah, he acknowledged God's wrath as rightly, justly due for Judah and Jerusalem because King Ahaz, before him, did not offer ascension sacrifices. He ceased the practice. So as this very common sacrifice and these examples, we can see that the Lord really likes the ascension sacrifice and really wants his people to offer it. Now, a new covenant people, think to yourself, what is it about the ascension sacrifice that God likes? Why does it please him? Why does he insist that it's done? The ascension sacrifice brings the worshiper near to the Lord. In the beginning, due to the fall, due to sin on mankind, God exiled humanity from his presence. He kicked out Adam and Eve from the garden. And this ascension sacrifice brings his people back. We come back through sacrifice. In the old covenant, it was through animal sacrifices. It was through the death and the blood of the animal. It was the changing of the animal through fire and smoke on the altar. Israel came to God through animals. In the new covenant, the better covenant, we don't come through animal sacrifices, we come through human sacrifice. Jesus Christ fulfills all of these details in the ascension sacrifice. He is the son of the herd without defect. Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself, our leaning on him, to put our sins on him. Jesus' blood was shed. It was separated from his body when his side was pierced. Jesus was offered not on a four-cornered altar, but on a cross. Jesus then ascended on the cloud into the heavenly glory. And our new covenant worship, Church of Jesus Christ, is in union with Jesus. He establishes the ascension sacrifice in us. We answer the call to worship, and we bring our whole selves, heart, soul, mind, and body. We bring it all to God. The wages of sin is death. So we must give it all to God. We must come in complete surrender, die to self, and subject yourselves to the Lord Jesus, his sacrifice, his offering on your behalf. His shed blood cleanses us. We've already heard that this morning. Daniel declared it. Because of the finished work of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus atones for us. The blood of Jesus covers us before a perfectly righteous and holy God. We, as sacrifices, need to lose our fleshly covering, that which has been affected by sin, and we need to be covered with Christ's righteousness. Brothers and sisters, Leviticus is about Jesus, and our worship is about Jesus. Therefore, our worship is about Leviticus chapter 1. So these rites, this order of worship that our unchanging God gave to his people, is imaged in our worship. Our worship is organized in a liturgy. And we structure our worship first with a call from heaven. The Lord called from the tent of meeting. He called from his dwelling place on earth. Now he dwells in heaven, and he calls us up. And that's how we begin worship. God gets the first word. God speaks first. Come up. And we answer. We go up. We ascend to the Lord by his gracious call. And that going up implies being called first. We've already been kicked out due to sin. To go back up, we need to be called. And God calls us. Now, worship has an ascension or a heavenly quality because Jesus has already gone up and our worship is in union with him. So our worship has a call to worship. Some weeks we will have a sursum corda, which is Latin for lift up your hearts. Some churches do this every week. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. And we confess sin before our perfect and holy God. We remove our dirt, our fleshly coverings, for the sake of Jesus Christ. This is kind of what Paul's saying here in Philippians 3, is I count it all as dung. Everything that I am, everything that I have, I count it as dung for the sake of Christ's righteousness. You just take everything off. You approach God. We offer our entire selves. And brothers and sisters, we come desiring to be changed. That animal was changed. That animal at the beginning of worship was a lot different at the end of worship. We give up our entire selves to be changed. We've already seen a human sacrifice this morning. The Percumpuses gave up their son to God. And that changing that we ought to desire is being cut up by the Word. To be changed into a pleasing aroma by the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Now follow the history of redemption. Leviticus 1, these ascension offerings, this is the inferior form of worship. Our worship is to be better than this. This worship pointed forward to fulfillment in the new covenant. And not simply fulfilled in Christ, though it is. New covenant people worship today, is the full realization of Christ's fulfillment of Leviticus chapter 1. This is Leviticus chapter 1, the greater Leviticus 1 being fulfilled in our day. And fulfillment of Leviticus 1 is not to disregard it. Oh, we don't have to do that anymore. Who cares what it says? Fulfillment of Leviticus 1 is not to pay no attention to it. Freedom in Christ is not ignorance nor neglect. No, our worship is an ascension offering to God. A worship that changes us. A worship that cuts us up. A worship that changes us by the fire. When we get to ascend to heaven in worship every week, that's going to change you. You can't go to heaven week after week and remain the same. We are now the ascension sacrifices that ascend in Jesus Christ. And in worship, he changes us to go forth to live sacrificial lives in union with him. Worship flows into life. Christ-centered worship, Christ-centered life, sacrificial worship, sacrificial life. So, brothers and sisters, the Church of Jesus Christ must worship according to the ascension sacrifice. We must read it. We must meditate on it day and night. We must glean wisdom from it and apply it with faithfulness and reverence. The Lord, who loved this kind of worship, loves when his people follow his revelation. He established that worship, he established that holy living for his people. And he established that in us to follow that in worship and faithful living according to the covenant. You worship well, you serve well. So, brothers and sisters, let us lay ourselves on the altar. Let us lay our children on the altar. Let us lay our whole church on the altar of Jesus Christ, that we would ascend into God's presence each and every Lord's Day. And that ascension is our glorious privilege. It's also our responsibility to be changed, for kingdom service, and to be prepared for the heavenly sanctuary where we join with God to sing his praises. All this united to our ascended Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Grant, we humbly ask thee, Almighty God, that like as we do believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into the heavens, so we may also in heart and mind ascend there, and with him continually dwell, he who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.